Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Adrian, the dragon tamer from Blackthorn City, is going to be trying his hand at the Violet City Gym and its leader, Faulkner. Adrian, last time we played, you and your friends, Desmond and Jorah, explored the city streets of Violet City at the tail end of evening after you arrived after traveling through Route 36. You visited the Pokemon Center, and you visited a location known as the Rite of Learning, where you trained some of your Pokemon. After the Rite of Learning, you went to the Pokemon Center, Adrian, rested for the night, and at this point, probably about maybe an hour or two after the sun has risen, you have woken up awake in the Violet City Pokemon Center's hostel rooms. There's a couple other trainers sleeping around. You look around, you notice that Jorah is gone and off for the morning, and Desmond is still asleep. Adrian, here in the morning, what would you like to do before heading out to the Violet City Gym?
The first thing I'd like to do is there like a prayer area anywhere?
No. It's a hostel room, so it's filled with just dorm rooms. Or dorm, like bunk beds and whatnot.
That's understandable. All right, I'm gonna go and, before I leave, just say a small prayer to, we'll say, Entei, before heading out, praying for luck in the gym battle, and a ferocity of sorts to overcome challenges.
Cool.
As I'm gonna grab Silky and Monica's Pokeballs, kind of put them on my belt, tie everything together. All right, let's go. I'm ready to go off to the gym.
Heading off to the Violet City Gym, it is a multi-story dome with an open-air arena at the very top, built at the south end of Bell Lake, which is this lake at the north side of Violet City. Here on the ground level of the Violet City Gym, though, you enter inside. Maybe while you were walking towards it, you saw Jorah leaving. Just kind of gives a wave as he continues on to wherever he's off to. And you enter inside the ground level, and there inside is a desk and a Johto Pokemon League staff member wearing nice round glasses and a warm smile. He waves at you and just simply introduces himself. Hello, my name's Joshua. How may I help you today, trainer?
Hello, Joshua. I'm Adrian. I'm hoping to register for the Johto Gym Challenge.
Very well. It's very easy to register with the Johto Pokemon League. Before you enter in to fight this gym challenge here in Violet City, I have a few forms I need you to answer for me, and you will have to swear the challenger's pledge. And Joshua will lean down behind his desk, open up a drawer, pull out a couple papers, and he will take out a pen, and he will begin to write down your responses. All right, sir. What is your name?
Adrian.
Is there a family name at all?
I have not thought of this.
You're not the only one who's been surprised by the need for a last name.
Yeah, screw it. Fujino.
Very well, thank you, Mr. Fujino. Where are you from?
Blackthorn City.
Ah, you're coming all the way from Ice Path.
Yes. It was a harrowing journey, to say the least.
Yes, it's always exciting to see some fellow Johtoans here. We've had a lot of foreigners right now, so a friendly face, a neighbor, is always welcome. How old are you, Mr. Fujino?
I'm 21.
Very well, and what is your six-digit trainer ID?
7-2-5-8-3. Adrian pulls out his trainer card. 1.
7-2-5-8-3-1, is that correct?
Correct.
Very well, and Mr. Fujino, do you have any pending gym challenges in other regions? It's helpful for the Pokemon Leagues to be able to communicate on overlapping challenges.
No, I do not.
Very well, and finally, you will have to swear the challenger's pledge. Repeat after me. I swear to tell no other trainer about what I experience in the gym challenges.
I swear to tell no other trainer about the challenges I experience in the gym challenges.
I swear to battle honestly, fairly, and with no underhanded tactics.
I swear to battle honestly, fairly, and with no underhanded tactics.
Finally, I swear to respect the outcome of the tests I face inside the gym challenges, as well as to respect the trainers who test me.
I vow to respect the results of the trainer tests and the results of them, as well as the trainers who... What was that last part?
I swear to respect the outcome of the tests I face inside the gym challenges, as well as to respect the trainers who test me.
Alright. I swear to respect the results of the gym tests, as well as the trainers who test me.
Close enough. Joshua is going to finish scribbling down some information, and then he will stick out his hand and ask, Mr. Fujino, if I could have your trainer ID really quickly.
I'll hand over my trainer ID to the gentleman, to Joshua.
Thank you, sir. And Joshua is going to swipe your trainer ID card through a scanner. And the scanner, three lights are going to slowly boop, 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 flash. And then he'll hand it back to you. And he'll say, thank you, Mr. Fujino. And on his left, he'll open up another drawer, take out a plastic square case, pass it along to you, along with a sticker of a Pidgeot. And Joshua will say, all right, Mr. Fujino, you have been registered with the Johto Pokemon League. Here is your JPL-issued badge case and a commemorative Pidgeot sticker.
Oh, thank you.
And if you look off to your left... And he'll motion with his right hand to your left, a sliding glass door is going to pull into the ceiling, revealing an elevator for you to take to your first gym test. And Joshua will say, your first tests await in there. If you manage to pass through all three tests successfully, you will face Gym Leader Faulkner.
All right. Adrian is going to walk through the doors. Thank you. You have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Best of luck.
Thank you.
And as you walk into the elevator, the sliding glass door is going to fall back into the place and seal itself once again. Then you wait in the elevator for 5 seconds. And another 5 seconds. And another 5 seconds without it moving.
Is there a panel I have to press buttons for?
There is no panel, and as you begin looking for one, immediately the elevator, boom, shoots upward faster than you expected. And then, equally as suddenly, it will stop, the momentum will cut, and you go airborne in the elevator, just a couple inches off the ground. By the time you land, the back of the elevator has opened up, and you've rolled out like a bit of a mess into the first room of the Violet City Gym.
I swear that elevator was done on purpose there.
You get up and look around this first room of the Violet City Gym Challenge, and you see it sprawling in the thousands of square feet, filled with lush trees and bright sun lamps in the ceiling above, with a mural of the sky painted on the walls. Sitting at a garden table is an older man, with wrinkles and black and gray hair. He wears a pair of solid black circular glasses. Welcome to the Violet City Gym, Challenger. My name is Abe, and I will be your first inspector. What is your name, son?
Adrian Fujino, as I would like to put my hands together and give a bow.
Good meeting you, Mr. Fujino. If you take note of the forest behind us... There, hidden among the trees, are two things. First is your quest. A fake egg in a nest at the center of the field. Bring it back here and you will pass this challenge. The second hidden quandary is your foe. My partner, Shota. He will harry and belay you. You may use one Pokémon. You may enter from any of the four cardinal directions, and this challenge is designed to test your ability to multitask while under pressure. Do you have any questions, son?
So the goal is to find the fake egg while your Pokemon is attacking me, or attacking my Pokemon. Am I going in there as well, or is it just my Pokemon?
It shall just be your Pokemon.
All right. How am I to communicate with them while they're in the forest? The egg could be decently deep in there.
He'll just grin and say, well, how do you communicate with them otherwise? You have a vocal range. Surely you can raise it a little louder.
You make a fair point.
Now this is out-of-game question. Am I allowed to Mystic Bond during this? I assume not, because that's kind of underhanded.
It would be considered slightly underhanded, yeah.
Alright, cool. I want to send out Silky. Alright, Silky, come on!
Yes, and you send out Silky and your Dratini partner materializes beside you.
Alright, Silky. I don't know if you heard the entire conversation, but there's an egg we have to find. And there's going to be a Pokemon that's going to assail you while trying to find it, though. Do you think you can handle it?
Silky gives like a fierce look of, yeah, I can take it.
Abe, is there a starting point you wish me to go from?
As I said, you may enter through any of the four cardinal directions.
I'm going to go to the western end of the forest.
Okay. As you kind of approach the western end, go ahead and make a perception check as you look into the forest, gauging what awaits you.
That is a 10.
A 10. You're not sure how far, but you do see deep into the forest, straight ahead, is a clearing. You're not sure how far. It could be anywhere between 100 and 200 feet. You also see here on the west end, there is a collection of old hollowed out tree trunks that have fallen, have been stacked up. They form obstacles to Silky's path. Stepping out of game, this gym test is a skill challenge and potentially a battle. There is Shota, a Pokemon somewhere in the forest that will be trying to harry and belay Silky. On top of that, there is terrain that is blocking your progress into the forest. The skill challenge part of this is designed around using your skills and moves to travel through the forest quicker or helping you defend against whatever obstacle Shota, the Pokemon, has set forth for you. Any questions for me, Pix?
I do not think so.
Then, how do you send Silky in?
I want to kind of kneel down next to Silky.
All right, Silky, so as I explained, there's an egg in there. I'm thinking we try and go more of a sneaky approach. You can squeeze through... You can squeeze through gaps easier than Monica would be able to. You want to be on the lookout for another Pokemon, though, Shota. It's going to try and attack you in the middle of it. Try and avoid fighting. If you have to, though, I'll be there to help you through it.
As I want to rub Silky on the head and send her in.
Yeah, with that, go ahead, roll initiative for Silky, not Adrian.
And that's a 5.
As Silky begins slithering into the forest, I'm making a perception check for Shota. Okay. That is all. Silky, you are up. All
right. Can Silky roll stealth to hide under the brushes and slither between, like, fallen, broken trunks to stay out of sight?
You can do that. Silky will have to move at half speed the entire way.
The entire way?
The entire way. That's how stealth works. You have to go at slow speed.
Well, we weren't given a time limit, so I'll do that.
Okay. What is Silky's walk speed?
25.
Okay, so she can move 10 feet at a time while stealthing. Go ahead and make a stealth check for Silky.
All right. That is a 19.
Okay, yeah. I will say there's not a lot of brush here. There are these hollowed fallen tree trunks.
Gotcha. So Silky is more so taking the longer path of slithering between those.
Okay. As Silky is slithering through these fallen tree trunks, I'm going to have Shota make a perception check, wherever Shota might be. Okay, it is your turn.
Silky is going to make a perception check to try and find Shota.
Make a perception check.
That is a 19.
From where Silky is, she cannot see Shota. Whether that is because Shota is hidden or just not in sight right now, you are not sure.
Silky's going to take, kind of break out of the stealth for now and go at a quicker pace to get through.
Okay. Is she going normal speed?
Yes.
Then, in that case, that's her turn. As she's beginning to move out, there is a sound of wings echoing between the trees and the tree trunks and the branches. It seems something is on the move. Your turn, Silky. How are you going to get through the obstacles that are these fallen tree trunks? They're not small. These are big. Think like Pinwheel Forest. At this point, you've like gotten into the forest, and any further is going to be difficult terrain unless you're using skills to overcome these.
Can Silky use acrobatics or athletics to try and make a springboard out of herself to jump over it?
You want to turn Silky into a pogo stick? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that's going to be a strength check on that.
Okay, cool.
As she's trying to pogo stick around this.
That is a 10.
It's not enough to get past the difficult terrain, but it is enough to like almost negate it. Instead of going 10 feet, she can go 15 feet.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then any other like action you want to do.
And then as for an action, I want to use mist away from me as the intention is to try and throw off Shota as to where Silky could be.
Deception check from Silky. And I'm okay. Going to have Shota make an insight check with advantage.
Oh, that's so bad. I rolled a 5.
All right, mark off a use of mist, and is that your turn? You've been jumping around like a pogo stick and you used mist. Anything else, Silky?
That is my turn.
As she is doing that, there is another flurry flapping of wings. Silky, it is your turn. You're maybe a third of the way towards the center of the forest.
Do I still have to try and get over that difficult terrain?
That difficult terrain is there until I tell you it is not there.
Okay, cool. Silky's going to try and use sleight of hand to maneuver through any rotted holes that may be in the tree trunks.
Okay, that's not necessarily going to be sleight of hand, but it would be acrobatics. Go ahead and have Silky make an acrobatics check as she's slithering through the holes, trying to maybe get some cover here, but also trying to find a quicker path through.
Okay. That's a 6. That was so close to a 20.
All right, she's still going to be traveling at difficult terrain, but she does maybe get some cover out of it.
Okay.
Do you want her to end inside one of the tree trunks or outside one of the tree trunks?
Inside one of them.
Then what's going to happen is as Silky is kind of hiding in the tree trunks, she is hearing those foo, foo, foo wing flaps get closer and therefore louder. As she's hiding in one of those tree trunks, a small bird head is going to flash inside from the other end of the trunk and leer at her, and I need her to make a wisdom saving throw as a small reddish-brown bird with black underfeathers leers at her.
That is a 12.
She fights off the leer attack, but Shota, the Spearow, has caught up to your Dratini.
All right. Silky is going to use...
Before you do anything, Shota peers into the tree trunk, and then, seeing that the leer failed, flew away from the exit and is now somewhere else in the nearby forest. Whether he is in a branch or a tree or anything, Silky can't see right now. Silky's still inside the tree trunk. Now it's your turn, Silky.
All right, Silky is going to leave from the opposite end in which she came in.
Okay.
Through the tree trunks. And if she's able to see Shota, she's going to try Thunder Waving.
All right, make a perception check to see if you can find Shota, as there are branches and leaves and the like providing some cover for the bird.
How does a 19 do?
A 19 does very well. Go ahead. What do I have to roll as you spot Shota flying around, encircling the tree trunk that Silky was in?
Constitution save.
What's the DC?
11.
That is a 13.
All right.
As the thunder wave pulses into the air and Shota pushes right past it. That is your action. What are you going to do with your movement and any skills?
Silky's going to try and... It sounds stupid with a power on through, but essentially just like slither as quickly as possible, trying to just ram straight through any trees.
Okay, trying to barrel through them, break a path, make a strength check, high DC. If she fails this, she makes no progress this turn.
Okay. It's 12.
12, that's not going to be enough. Silky tries breaking through one of these hollow tree trunks, and this one's too sturdy. She ends up getting pushed back by the bark. And with that opening, Shota, the Spearow is going to zip down and do a peck attack. I need to know, does a 21 hit?
Yeah.
And that's 9 flying type damage.
Ow. That hurts.
Shota is then going to fly away from melee into the cover of the treetops.
Okay.
Silky, you're up.
Silky's gonna make a perception check to try and find where Shota is.
You know where Shota is? He just has cover.
Okay. Here's what I want to do then. I'm gonna use Twister.
Twister? All right, that's an attack roll, I believe.
It is.
All right, go ahead and roll to attack. Shota's AC is increased by 2 right now because he's hiding between some branches and the like.
Dude, that does not matter. I've rolled a natural 20.
Oh, okay. Roll damage.
That is going to be 13 dragon-type damage.
13 dragon-type damage to Shota as a Twister barrels through the tree that he is hiding in.
Also flinching.
Also flinching him, he would have disadvantage on his attack on his next turn. All right, anything else, Silky? That was your action.
Silky's going to move through the branches trying to get further through the obstacles.
Anything special or just moving through?
Going to try pogo sticking again.
Athletics check.
All right. That's an 11.
I'm going to say not enough. Silky's able to make it 10 feet, but she's not something built to pogo stick.
That's understandable. That is my turn.
All right, Shota has flinched. However, Shota is going to try nosediving and doing a peck attack once more. 11 to hit. Oh, wait, hold up. He has disadvantage. 11 to hit.
That will miss.
Yeah, the peck attack misses thanks to the flinch you got off on Shota. Silky's turn. Shota's not leaving melee this time.
That's dangerous to tell me. Silky is going to use Wrap.
Roll to attack.
That is a 7.
A 7 will miss Shota as Silky tries springing forth and wrapping around this Spearow Pokemon like a snake, but the Spearow is a little too hard to catch.
Silky's gonna try ducking under some cover from a hollow tree.
Are you going to move?
Yes.
Okay, as you move out of range of Shota, Shota is going to use Pursuit.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, and he's not flinched anymore. Ha ha ha! I need to know, does a 13 hit you?
Barely.
This is going to do double damage because it's an attack of opportunity and it hit. 7 dark type damage to Silky, and Shota is right next to you in your cover.
Okay.
How is Silky holding up?
Looking rough.
Seeing a rough target, a sharp whistle blows through the air, and Shota is going to try a peck attack. 8 to hit.
That will miss.
Lucky you. Shota is then going to fly away out of the cover, out from behind this hollow tree, and back up into the branches.
Can I get an opportunity attack against it?
You can. It will have disadvantage due to Shota's passive, which is flyby.
All right. I'm still going to try and go for that wrap. That's a 17 regardless.
A 17 hits. Go ahead and roll damage as you spring forth like a snake once more at this Spearow.
That will be 4 normal type damage.
4 damage to Shota as Silky coils around the Spearow. He will go limp in her coil.
Silky's going to let go, check on Spearow to make sure Spearow's not too messed up, and then is going to go towards the egg.
Spearow is fine, and Silky in time will arrive at a central clearing here in the first test room. This clearing has a large tree at the center where the top of the trunk branches out, forming a little small cuvette for a nest at the top. Silky is able to slither up the tree. How is she going to get the egg out?
Silky is going to wrap around the tree and coil the bottom of herself to act as like a rest or like a harness for this egg as she's going to slowly lower it and then lower herself.
Okay, yeah. She's able to do that. It's a fake egg, so there's no worries about breaking it unless you happen to be something like a Machamp. And in time, after a grueling couple minutes of Silky slowly, very slowly, moving this egg towards the edge of the forest, will succeed your first gym test.
Good job, Silky. I'm proud of you. Though, that whistling gives me a good idea with the flute.
As you're talking with Silky, Abe will let out another bird call. And Shota will scramble awake, shake his head, and fly out of the forest and onto Abe's falconry glove. And as that happens, Abe will turn to you, Adrian, as you return from the west side of the forest, and will say, congratulations, Adrian. You did well against Shota. Here's a reward for passing the test, as well as some potions to heal your Pokemon. And you will be given 1,300 Pokédollars.
I'm rich!
And Silky will be restored up to full hit points, but all of her PP remains the same.
Understood.
Your next test awaits you on the elevator. Take it easy on Rodney. The young boy's eager to prove himself.
Thank you, Abe. As I like to give another bow, I'll keep that in mind. I want to go up the elevator, and I want to prepare slash brace myself for the slingshot that is about to occur.
Yeah, you prepare and brace yourself, make a strength check to hold on to the railings, keep yourself from getting launched up too fast.
Oh no, that's a natural one.
Adrian, you hold on to the railings and you're pretty sure you've got it this time. And then after 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 15 seconds of tense waiting, it shot up faster than you were expecting. Boom! And once again, you are spat out into a large room as you tumble out from the back, stopping on the floor of the next room.
Adrian's just lying flat on the floor, almost like in an X shape. I'm here. Give me a second. Adrian's slowly gonna stand up.
You hear a small young boy's voice laugh from across the room, and as you take the sight in, this room is slightly smaller than the previous floor. But the mural of the sky and the bright ceiling lamp simulating the sun remains the same. There is no lush forest, however, just a basic battling field with a series of small metallic circles sealed amongst the sand. A short boy with overalls and an oversized bucket hat points at you and is kind of clutching his belly laughing. This is Rodney, your next inspector.
Yeah, well, hiya! My name's Rodney, but I prefer folks call me Rod. How are you doing, sir? I can see you got tumbled out of that there elevator a little faster than you thought.
Yes, it was a... that hurt.
Well, I'm glad you're not too hurt, even if you maybe bruised your bum a little bit. I want to get things moving along. What's your name?
Adrian.
Alright, Adrian, so I'm a cutter to chase. I'm a quiz ya and test your know-how on battling in sorts. It'll be a proper one-on-one battle. No fancy obstacle course like what their Abe gave ya. Any questions for me, though?
Is it a single or a double battle?
A proper one-on-one battle.
All right.
All that said, I'm gonna send out my Tsubasa, and whenever you're ready, sir, just let me know and we'll get this right underway.
Oh, man, I don't know whether to send in Silky or Monica. Okay, out-of-game question. Do our Pokemon get revived if they faint? Wait, no, that's stupid. If my Pokemon faints, I lose.
I was about to say.
I'm gonna send in Monica. Yeah, I'll send in Monica.
All right. As you both clutch your Pokeballs, throw them out into the air, and they both materialize. Let's roll initiative. Adriana, let me know what you roll.
That's a 10.
Okay. You actually do go first. Rodney sends, "Go, Subasa!" And what you see appear before you is a bird the size of a medium dog with cream-colored feathers on the underbelly, some brown feathers on the wings, and then reddish-pink plumage coming out from the top and forming the tail feathers at the back. It goes, "Pow!" and stares at you as Subasa has appeared, whatever species this might be, and at the start of the round, Rodney's gonna point at you, and he's gonna say, "All right, starting my quiz off with something simple. Lots of bird Pokemon like Subasa here have the Keen Eye ability. What does this ability protect bird Pokemon from?"
"Accuracy decreasing."
"Darn it, y'all know that one." Go ahead, roll a d4 as one of those vents behind Monica opens up and gives a boost of momentum to her.
"Momentum? That's a 4.
With a 4, the momentum swirls around Monica and is going to give her a stack of agility. She is going to have x2 movement and advantage on dex saves.
"All right, Monica, let's start this off with a tackle attack."
Go ahead, roll to attack with tackle.
21.
21 will hit. Go ahead and roll damage.
That's going to be 3.
All right, the tackle attack collides, and Subasa flinches back and goes, "Quah!" Begins flying up in the air, trying to get out of Monica's range. We are going to treat this like a video game battle, just so you know, so don't worry about range here.
Okay.
Is that your turn?
Yes.
Then, in that case, Subasa is going to do an agility of its own. Rodney says, "Subasa, speed things up, match it!" And blue energy is going to course around this bird Pokemon. And as a bonus action, Rodney's going to tell it, "Now, quick attack!" And I need to know, does a 16 hit you?
Barely.
That's going to be 4 normal type damage to Monica.
Oh, man. Okay.
It is your turn, Adrian. But at the start of the round, Rodney's going to point at you again and ask another question.
Okay, time for the real questions. A Geodude uses Rock Throw on an Incada. What's the effective strength of that Rock Throw?
Out of game, he's looking for a power number.
Okay, I see. The power would be 90, correct?
Wrong! Power would be 75!
10 more than I thought it would.
A lot more than you thought it would. I'm going to roll to see his bonus is going to be. As a pair of vents open up behind Subasa and give him a burst of energy, he gets to roll an extra damage die on his next attack.
Oh.
That is the question for this round. Adrian, what is Monica doing?
Monica, go again with another tackle.
Roll to attack.
Oh, that's a natural 1.
That will go ahead and be a miss from Monica, and it goes to Subasa now.
All right, Subasa, with that burst of speed and that energy, hit him with a gust!
And I need you to make a dexterity saving throw.
Monica, use protect!
Okay.
As I want to cancel them.
Are you sure you want to stop it? It's a dex save. Remember, we stated that it happens after you see the damage number.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, my bad. Okay, yeah, let me roll that.
Also, you don't even know if it's going to hit. So
that is an 11.
An 11 will be a hit, which would be, since it's super effective, that's 2d6 plus the extra d6 plus 4. That would be, that would be 15 flying damage.
Yeah, we're protected.
Yeah, as Monica quickly reactively throws up a shield to protect herself, canceling the damage. Oh, wait, no, we said Sturdy was after.
Oh.
We said Sturdy was after the damage. It's fine.
It's fine. I was planning on protecting either way.
You were going to protect either way, and that is Rodney's damage bonus out. So, Monica, it's top of the round. And Rodney's going to put his hand on his hips and say, "You might have been able to protect yourself from that, but let's see what you know about dodging."
A Scyther has used double team 6 times. A Starly is battling the Scyther and only has time to get 1 attack off before it faints. What attack should Starly use?
It should use Aerial Ace, if it has it.
He takes his bucket hat, throws it on the ground, and is like, dang it! Go ahead, roll a d4 as you got the correct answer.
You're correct! Aerial Ace can't miss!
That is a coup.
Monica will get an extra damage die on her next attack.
Alright.
It is your turn.
Monica! Hit him with a tackle! That's a 7.
The 7 will miss, as the energy pulsing through Monica from these strange events dissipates as her momentum dies out. Rodney will say,
well, you had a good run, but let's see how you do against a quick attack gust combo!
Quick attack first.
6!
That'll miss.
And then, gust is a dexterity saving throw from Monica, who has advantage on those right now.
That's a 6.
That's a 6, alright. Time for flying type damage. That is going to be 11 flying type damage to Monica.
I'm gonna sturdy.
Yeah, sturdy will reduce that damage to 1 as Monica braves the line of wind that begins barreling through her. And you're beginning to realize Monica's strong. Adrian, that is Rodney's turn. So next question.
All right, well, you've lasted longer than I thought you would. But here's an important question for you. What are some ghost-type moves that can be used to damage a normal type? There's 4. I'm looking for 2.
Nightshade. And then...
Incorrect!
And with that, a vent is going to open up behind Tsubasa. And...
Oh, I just realized 1. I'm so stupid.
And with a 4, Tsubasa is going to get a second blast of agility, which increases his armor class by 2. As Tsubasa is getting faster and faster, Adrian, it is your turn.
Okay, I have an idea. I have an anime BS idea.
Okay.
Monica has a speed boost. Can I have Monica try and roll into this thing to see with this speed if it's enough to try whatever she's been trying?
Okay. Go ahead and make a strength check to try and hit Rodney. I would normally say disadvantage on this, but you do have a speed boost, so that would help Monica here. So you just have to hit Tsubasa's armor class, which right now is 15.
I'm going to use my inspiration on this.
Okay. Yeah.
This is important for Monica.
Go ahead and roll advantage.
That's an 18.
Let's roleplay it.
All right, Monica. You've been trying to roll. Let's use the speed we've been given. Try it.
As Monica hears this, there was just that gust attack. Monica will ride the winds. And then using the momentum from falling, use the agility boost to begin rolling, picking up dirt as she goes. Go ahead, roll 2d4 rock type damage. Do not add your power bonus.
That is 4.
4 rock type damage to Rodney. Mark off, you've got 1 check of rollout. She is learning rollout. Make an intelligence check for Monica here.
All right.
High DC, since this is the first time she's managed to get it off.
That's a 17.
She's got a learning mark. Congratulations.
Oh, I'm so proud of you, Monica.
And I have to make a con save on Tsubasa's agility. That is a 4. Tsubasa has lost his agility bonuses.
Yes.
Congratulations. Rodney's turn. Rodney just got that extra agility buff. That was rough. I'm going to be like,
wow, good show there, you little pinecone freak. But let's see how you do against the gust.
So I need another dex save from Monica.
All right. That's a 13.
13 is enough to dodge. You dodge the gust, but do you dodge the quick attack? 22.
Yeah, that's gonna hit.
Oh, well, minimum damage 2, normal type damage to Monica as this quick attack as she's falling down from the gust strikes into her Pidgeotto, taking down a little bit of health.
It's a Pidgeotto?
It is a Pidgeotto. What did you think it was?
I thought it was a Pidgey!
Nope. He's got the red feathers. He's got the plumage at the top.
Oh my gosh.
That is Tsubasa's turn. All right, I'm starting to get low on questions here, but I've got a really important one. You might know this one, mister, but what are the top three defensive types by the number of their resistances?
Steel, dragon.
Incorrect. It was steel, poison, and fire.
Huh. I didn't think of that.
Dragon has 4 resistances, but poison and fire each have 5.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
They're tanky types.
They're tanky types. They're really good. That said, I'm going to roll a d4 for Tsubasa's bonus. 1, Tsubasa will have advantage on its next attack. More of these vents burst forth a gust of wind behind Tsubasa, giving him some momentum. It is your turn, Adrian. Monica is locked into rollout. Make a strength check to attack with rollout.
Ah, that's only a 6.
The rollout will pitter out and fade.
All right. But it's something she's learning.
Yes, the rollout pitters out as Tsubasa flies out of the way. And as it does so, looming almost like the sun at high noon above Monica is going to blast forth a 20-foot line wind of gust. Oh, also, retroactively make a con save on Monica for agility concentration.
Oh, yeah. Ah, I lose the agility.
You lose the agility. Make a dexterity save for Monica.
I'm going to use Protect.
Yeah. Monica throws up a shield of Protect once more, completely guarding against the blast of air. It is your turn, top of the round, and Ronnie's like, oh man, this is my last planned question. But here we go, we'll go with it. It's a 4 Pokemon battle. 1 Pokemon uses Fake Out, another Pokemon uses Protect, a 3rd uses Helping Hand, and a 4th uses Extreme Speed. In what order do the Pokemon attack?
Can you say those again?
1 Pokemon uses Fake Out, another uses Protect, a 3rd uses Helping Hand, and a 4th uses Extreme Speed. In what order do the Pokemon attack?
It would be Extreme Speed, then Protect, then Fake Out and Helping Hand.
Rodney will shake his head and say, absolutely incorrect. Helping Hand would go first there, followed by Protect, Fake Out, and Extreme Speed.
I thought Extreme Speed had priority above all priority.
It has a priority above Quick Attack. But Fake Out is faster, Protect is faster than Fake Out, and Helping Hand is faster than Protect.
Oh, man.
Time for another. Let's see if there's another damage bonus here. For the next attack, Tsubasa will have another damage die bonus. Rodney will say, you're not too sharp, but let's see if you can wrap this up in your last turn. And he's going to grin smugly. He thinks he's already won. What is Monica going to do?
Monica, get ready to dodge.
It is going to be Tsubasa, and Tsubasa, seeing you being a coward, is going to blast off a gust attack. So let's get a dexterity save with advantage because you dodged.
That is a 14.
14 dodges. You managed to miss the gust attack, but now it's time for a quick attack bonus action. 11 to hit.
That will also miss.
Okay. Top of the round, as Tsubasa missed both strikes, Rodney's going to be like, buddy, come on! Oh, man, wait, I don't have any other questions, so, oh gosh, and he's going to tap his foot and be like, I gotta come up with something on the spot here. Name all the type advantages against flying types.
Electric and rock.
Wrong! You forgot ice! This time, the energy gives a protective coalescence around Tsubasa the Pidgeotto. He will have resistance to the next damage suffered. Monica, you're up!
Monica is gonna go for a tackle.
Roll to attack.
That is a 22.
22 hits. It will have resistance against this normal type damage, so downgrade it to a d4.
Oh, that's 2 damage.
2 damage, okay. Tsubasa's looking fine.
I know.
With a tackle attack slamming into Tsubasa the Pidgeotto, Rodney is going to say, "All right, Tsubasa, agility quick attack. Let's ramp this up once more." Agility is going to pour around this blue energy around Tsubasa, and then I need to know, does a 12 hit Monica?
It's going to miss.
Yeah, Monica's got pretty good AC. That is his turn, and now Rodney's back to clutching his hat. He's, like, biting the edge of the bucket hat, and he's like, oh, gosh. All right, if a Pokemon with drought and a Pokemon with drizzle both are sent out at the start of battle, which weather's gonna go first? How do you determine that?
Am I able to make an intelligence check for hints?
If you would like to try and make an intelligence check, you can. The DC will be 15.
Okay, I'm fine with that. That's a 17.
All right, it's based off a certain stat.
It'll be based off the speed stat. It'll be the Pokemon who's faster.
Incorrect. If I remember correctly, weather goes based off the slower Pokemon, because the first Pokemon activates its ability first. So, unfortunately, that is an incorrect answer from you, my friend, and more energy courses around Tsubasa, who gets another damage bonus with a 2. All right,
oh, no.
It is your turn, Adrian.
Monica, try going for another rollout.
Okay, roll to attack with just strength.
Oh, that's only a 3.
Monica, can't hit. That will
Monica,
be a miss.
Monica, please. How much PP does rollout have?
Probably 20.
Okay, cool.
I think that's what it is in the games.
I believe so as well.
Double checking. Yeah, we'll go with 20.
Okay.
We might change that in the future. Rodney will say, "Good job dodging, Tsubasa. Now, hit him with a gust!"
All right. I'm protecting. My last protect.
Yeah, last protect. As you take in the gust attack. I believe I was going to say quick attack.
Yeah.
6!
All right.
Okay. Monica, you're up. Oh, no, top of the round, I guess. Another question.
All right. Well, at this point, we're just going to go with trivia here. 15 years ago, Faulkner pioneered a new move in Flying-type battling. What was that move? It did no damage, but instead helped the user.
Can I roll a history check?
You could? The question is vaguely worded, but it's kind of asking what was Faulkner's signature move 15 years ago?
It was Roost.
Aw, Dread, I thought you would be too young for that!
Go ahead, roll a d4 for Monica's boost.
A 4!
Hey, you've got agility again! You've got a chance!
Monica, with the speed, try going for another rollout.
Okay, go ahead and make the strength check. I'll say sure at advantage this time. Monica needs everything she can get.
It's an 11!
An 11 misses! Matching the agility of Tsubasa and Monica, Tsubasa is just faster naturally and dodges. And Tsubasa at this point is going to use, I believe, its last quick attack and gust combo. So quick attack first, 21.
That'll hit.
2 normal type damage again. Go ahead and make a con save. Come on, Monica.
Please. Okay, that's a 22 on that.
22, good, perfect, love it. Make a dexterity save with advantage.
Oh, that's it. That's an 8.
An 8? There's a chance, somehow, maybe.
I hope so.
I have to roll 2 ones, but...
I literally need 1 good hit.
Okay, here we go. I don't want to roll it. I'm actually scared.
Same here.
Oh no. So that's gonna be as a gust of wind blasts into Monica like a line. Your pineco goes flying into the air, crashes into the ground, kicking up dust everywhere, and you hold your breath for a second, and then another, and another. Monica will collide with the ground and faint. And Rodney will simply say, honestly, that was a really good scrap there, pal. It was fun battling. I didn't expect you to do as well as you did.
Thank you.
And I know you didn't do as well as you'd like, but you're definitely strong, sir. Come back even stronger and have a rematch with Tsubasa and I next time.
Will do.
He's gonna grab his bucket hat and wave at you as you leave.
I'm gonna return Monica. Come on, let's get you to a Pokemon Center.
Yeah. You leave the gym, taking the elevator down, exit, and head to the Pokemon Center. And as you head on over, we're going to end this here.
All right.
Sorry, Pix.
No, it's fine.
Having given their all in the gym test against Trivia Master Rodney, Adrian and Monica were soundly bested by Tsubasa the Pidgeotto and unable to continue their Violet City gym challenge. With Adrian's defeat and Jorah's victory behind him, Desmond's challenge is anything but certain. Thief here. Thanks for listening to Dices and Dexes. We hope the gym challenges so far have been fun. This podcast, like I've always said, is a blast for us to play and a blast to produce, so we're always glad to see that folks are enjoying it too. If you feel like supporting the pod some more and helping us grow a little bit, go ahead and let us know what you thought of Adrian's gym battle in a comment below. Feel free to leave us a review on your podcasting platform of choice, or share us around with your fellow Pokemon and D&D pals. All of our links and socials are in our Linktree bio below. And once again, thanks for listening to Dices and Dexes. I hope you have a good day. Ciao.